nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, good morning. Hi there. We're just running just a bit late. The doc, well, we had some time things, but everything's cool. Dr. Carrie Made will be here in just a moment. And she's in a battle for humanity. Right? She's got a lot of cool, fun things going on. We're going to talk about some special ideas regarding all kinds of aspects of your physical, emotional, and spiritual health. Good morning. My name is Patrick Timpone. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. We're live here, April 20, 2021. If you care to be on the show, we do have an 800 number. Nobody uses any longer because it doesn't involve your thumbs, but you can try it. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. A lot of great people on next week. Dr. Jennifer Daniels, a lady who's going to talk about the World Economic Forum and how this fourth industrial revolution thing is not kind of sort of like what they say it's going to be. And Dr. Shiva, you know Dr. Shiva, he'll be here next week. And also Forrest Rivers, who's a fellow up in the Smoky Mountains, who is very much into the idea that as spooky as all this crazy is, it's about a great awakening. We agree there. Also, Richard Mayberry will be here next week. Amanda Vollmer and Melissa Sell will be on the following week talking about what really causes disease, and they're fun to talk to. Dr. Carrie Made is all over the place these days. She directed two large medical clinics in the state, in the great state of Georgia, and she's been doing that since her 20s. She's been fascinated with the world of vaccines for a long time. And you haven't been vaccinated, have you, Doc? Yeah, man, that was a whoa, man! I can't believe I said that. Good morning.
Not these new vaccines. No way. Yeah. How are you?
I'm fine, dear. It's Made, correct? Made.
That's a perfect pronunciation. Yes. Thank you.
Is that French? Made. Made.
No, it's a very old Polish name from before Poland was Poland, so I don't know the original origin.
Yeah. So you went to medical school early on, right? Just when you were just a little sprout. And what school did you go to?
University of Health Sciences College of Osteopathic Medicine in Kansas City, Missouri.
An osteopath. So those are the more enlightened MDs, in a sense, are you not? Osteopaths, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, we have to take the same kind of test and pass the same exams as any of the MDs do, but our training is different. We have a different philosophy. We believe in treating the body, mind, and spirit, that all three are very important for your health. And also, we believe that the body can inherently heal itself of anything. And so we view ourselves as investigators and educators. So we look for the blockages, what is blocking your body from being healthy, and teaching the patient. We also get a lot of education on hands-on diagnosis and osteopathic adjustments. So it's some of the main differences.
So did they just put you in a special wing around all the other doctors who were just being taught to do pharmaceutical medicines? I mean, that's very different, you know, really looking at the body as a whole mental, emotional, spiritual thing, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty unique in the medical world.
Well, in my training, I ended up going into an all allopathic or MD residency for internal medicine. So, you know, you had to walk like a duck and talk like a duck. So I did everything that way. And then when I got out and started practicing, I became depressed because I felt like I was not helping people. I was hurting them. They weren't getting better, in my opinion. So somebody reminded me, they said, well, why don't you just do what you were originally taught? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I started to, you know, integrate the things that I was taught from the beginning, and it was very successful.
Uh-huh. So what got you all curious and concerned about vaccines? How did that happen for you?
Well, when I was younger, I was told to get my tetanus booster, and they said you had to get it because of this mysterious bacteria in the soil, that if you were running around barefoot and a rusty nail got in your foot, that within minutes to hours, not days or weeks, but minutes to hours, you could get so much spasm in your body, you would curl into a ball and suffocate and die on the ground. Yeah, so I said, I've never heard of anyone dying that way.
Yeah. You said, yeah. I've never heard of anybody dying that way.
I always question things. And so for, all my training, I questioned it. And so in the end, even the infectious disease experts could not find one bona fide case of anyone dying in this manner that came from this bacteria. There's never been a proven scientific case. So if that's true, then we've been lied to about the reason for giving this vaccine. So that's not the reason why we give it. So that's why I started questioning, well, then why do we give it? Because that's not the truth. So I did an observation in one of the hospitals I was training at where they did not give the tetanus vaccine to people on welfare on purpose, but they did give it to private pay. And I asked why. They said, be quiet. That's the protocol. Don't say anything. And I noticed that there was a difference of fertility between the two groups. The people who did not get the tetanus vaccine were very fertile, even though they had poor nutrition, poor prenatal care, et cetera. The people that did get the vaccine had a hard time with fertility. Hmm. So I did a quick Google search back then and found out that the NIH, National Institute of Health, and World Health Organization had been working on this vaccine for the abortion vaccine or the sterilization vaccine. That's what they termed it. Wow. And they had unveiled it in different countries. They denied unveiling it here in the United States, but I'm suspect of that. But so the point is, since 1972, they've been developing the tetanus vaccine for a whole different reason than what they've told the medical establishment or the common person out there. So if they're lying about that vaccine, what else are they lying about?
So are they lying about the idea that kids get this strange measles virus running around and it's very dangerous and you have to get a vaccine for it? Is that a scam as well?
The more I looked into all the vaccines, the more I saw that we don't have the proper research to show A, safety, and B, efficacy on just about any vaccine out there. That the data is very poor or non-existent. And so in medical school, all of us are given only 4 hours of training on these vaccines. So we don't get very much training, and we're taught not very well about them. So the average doctor has no idea about them. They're told it's safe and effective, but if right. they do their own research, they'll see that the data is not there.
And RFK Jr., as you know, he sued and, to say, show us the safety and all of that. And they, whoever they are, they couldn't come up with anything, could they? That's true, right? And just no mm-hmm. real safety. So do you think, how do you deal with the moms who want to do the measles and the MMR and all of that? I mean, how do you deal with that when you're working with the patient?
Well, I tell the patient, well, first of all, I did not offer them in my clinic because I just felt like first do no harm. And I could not prove that these had more benefits than risks. So I did tell the patients that they should do their own research. I gave them websites like nvic.org. And, I did give them the inserts to vaccines where it tells you the risks. So I always provide information. And I believe it's the patient's right to have informed consent before they make a decision.
Mm-hmm. And the idea that informed consent is you just lay out everything, what you know to be the positive and the negative, potential negative effects. And then moms get to choose what they want.
Yes. I mean, for instance, the flu vaccine insert tells you that this has never been proven to protect you from the flu, which it hasn't. So, I mean, most people don't know that. You need to know what the facts are about things before you go forward. You have to also know that as each, dose of vaccines are added on, we know that the rate of autism goes up exponentially. So we know that by the year 2030 to 2035, the CDC estimates that one in two children will be on the autistic spectrum. And we'll have probably about 126 vaccines given to a child by then.
My God.
That's the estimate.
Hmm. With all your research, Dr.
Doses.
126 doses?
Yeah, they put more than one dose in an injection. Most parents don't even know that. They put multiple doses in one.
Yeah. Not to go down the autism rabbit hole too far this morning, but after all your research, and I can suspect by what I've seen from your work on videos that you do a lot of it, do we know why these vaccines, the adjuvants, or do we know why they're so connected with autism spectrum?
Yes, there's a lot of chemicals and toxins in these vaccines. Purposely, they put toxins in there because they're giving a weakened version of either the bacteria or the virus. So if it's weakened, they want to really make a strong immune response in the body. Mm-hmm. So that's the way they believe they can make the proper antibodies. So they have to give poison into the body on purpose to inflame the body. That's why they're putting the poison in there. There's different kinds of poisons. And so when they're doing that, they're inflaming everything. Well, that actually even opens up the blood-brain barrier. And so anything in that vaccine could get into the brain, which it's not supposed to, but that's what happens. That's one of the effects. And so we're getting different heavy metals in there because that's one of the preservatives, like aluminum and mercury. And if parents don't believe those are in there, they are. They just use different names for them now. And they're one of the most toxic neurotoxins in the brain. Imagine a little baby's brain just forming and we're giving their hepatitis B vaccine on the first day of birth. That's crazy. And the amount in one of these doses is higher than the recommended dose for anything. So they're going over the recommended doses. On top of that, they're giving more than one dose at once. So that means they're actually a synergistic effect. We've never studied that. So 1 + 1 isn't just 2. 1 + 1 could be 100 or 200 times more potent when you're adding these chemicals together. And then we have court cases proving that these vaccines have been linked with autism. And also there was a study by the CDC that was covered up for a while showing that in African-American boys, if they got their MMR vaccine before the age of 18 months, they were 3 times as likely to get autism. So we have proof that it does cause that.
Uh-huh. So what's the theory that they say that you have to give these poisons to activate the body? I mean, isn't the original idea kind of a homeopathic thing where you give a little bit of whatever you claim is out there and the body sees it and then gets stronger? I mean, is that the theory, original theory behind a vaccine and or not?
That's what they taught us in medical school, but
it's not right.
You know, once you look into that, the toxins are quite numerous, and I don't think we can understand all of them. For instance, they put neomycin in there, which is a very allergenic and toxic antibiotic because they have live infections inside these. These are contaminants. So they don't tell people, oh, by the way, you're going to get some contaminants from the manufacturing process that happen to be live bacteria or viruses. So first of all, that antibiotic can't work for those anyway. So that doesn't make sense. So they're not telling us something. They're not giving us the right reason why they're putting that antibiotic in there. They're not telling people about that. There's so many different things in there that don't make sense at all.
Yes.
And we know the flu vaccine, for instance, has been known to have many different viruses that lie dormant in a human body after you're injected and later on can become activated and cause cancer in you. Hundreds of cancer-causing viruses people are getting injected with. We've known this forever, and nobody does anything about it. No one stops this. That's one of the major reasons why the cancer rate goes higher and higher as time goes on.
And I suspect then, if you're talking 100 or so injections, there's obviously then, Dr. Mehta, would be no way of knowing the interaction or what they call the stacking, like with drugs and pharmaceuticals, the effects that it has on the kids. How would you know?
We don't have those studies to see how these multiple effects are happening and the synergistic effect from them as well. They don't exist. These manufacturers have had amnesty since 1986.
86, yeah.
And and new vaccines that they're giving out now, they call them vaccines, they actually indemnify, they made sure that these manufacturers have even more protection from any sort of lawsuit. So there's no way they have to be liable for anything that happens to any child or adult.
We're talking with Dr. Carrie Made. She's an MD. Her website is stopworldcontrol.com. We'll get into some of that today with you, if you don't mind. So do you think then that the reason why they are calling this injectable thing for COVID, whatever it is, a vaccine, so they have protection? That's why they keep calling it a vaccine, but we understand it's really not, is it? Technically, legally, lawfully, whatever word you want to use.
Well, it does not provide immunity to this infection. So you're supposed to provide immunity. It does not do that. So they even tell you that you are still able to transmit the disease and be contagious. So that defies the definition of any vaccine. But under the vaccine guidelines, they can get away with a lot more and be indemnified and not be responsible or liable for anything that happens to anybody. And they don't have to go through the same guidelines. And also under this vaccine umbrella, they can force it onto people if there's no other treatment available. So there's a lot of reasons why they're using the improper term for these injections.
Oh, so that would be another reason why they want to poo-poo all the different alternative things to this, whatever this is. Before we dig more into this injection, and I know you've done quite a bit of research on what it is and what it isn't, what do you think after the last year, 18 months or 2 years, what this thing is? Is it a thing? Does it exist even? I mean, there's people out there, Cowan, Kaufman, you've heard them, Vollmer, Lanka, et al., and saying, I've just never seen this virus isolated under electron microscope, which you need to do. They're claiming it doesn't even exist. It's there's no there. What do you think?
Well, I tell people that all the time to remind them that we aren't doing a normal vaccine. A normal vaccine is taking the virus that's alive or dead, and then you put the toxins in the syringe with it, and then you inject it in the body. The idea is that it's weakened, so it shouldn't really hurt you, but the body has knowledge on how to fight it because it's seen it. Well, this time they don't do that. And the reason is this: they don't have the actual organism on file anywhere in the world, in any government entity. Nobody has the actual organism that's made anyone sick. That's unbelievable. How in the world can they make a vaccine from an organism that doesn't even exist in the world on file to study it from?
And why doesn't it exist on file anywhere?
That's a good question. This is all I know of this, or any other of my colleagues, is how they came up with instead of getting the actual organism, they have the genetic code of the organism. So what they did is they had one sick patient from China and that with the symptoms of COVID. And they extracted the lung fluid from this patient, and they found pieces of genetic material. And they identified some of them, and the scientist said, yes, this looks like what made the person sick. They assumed that. Mm-hmm. So they took that genetic material and they had it analyzed, and it was pieces. So then they had a computer program, an artificial intelligence program, that filled in the missing blanks. So what they did is they have a Frankenstein code put together. We don't know exactly if it's the same organism. We don't know that. We do know the missing blanks filled in is from a computer program, so that's synthetic. So you have recombinant pieces together, like chimeric, as well as synthetic. So they put this code together. This is what they told us. They had the scientists make a consensus and said, yeah, that looks like what's making people sick. Let's try it. Literally, that's what happened.
Wow.
So we're assuming that this code is what's making people sick. We have no idea. We have no proof of that. And we're putting this Frankenstein code into people. This is the worst kind of experiment ever.
And this is documented on record, Dr. Maddie, that this is how they came up with this. This is it.
There are Freedom of Information Acts that you can get from different countries. And they say these things, that this is how the code is made.
Well, if you go in there with this person in China, in the lungs. I mean, isn't there little pieces, parts of all kinds of things along with this thing they came up with? I mean, how would you know what's in there?
Of course.
How would you know what's in there? And also, if they put it in a dish, don't they also mix it up with monkey kidney cells and all kinds of things to make it active? I mean, how do you know what's in there?
You're exactly right. Inside of us, we always have different viruses all the time.
We got them everywhere.
We're teeming with life. So, of course, you can't say that this genetic piece made anybody sick. I mean, you have no idea of that. That's not scientific method. On top of that, when they're growing them out in the medium and the cultures, yes, they're using like monkey kidney cells and other, you know, cow cells, all kinds of things. And, you know, each one of these cells, any species has hundreds sometimes of their own viruses.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So you don't know if you're what you're getting into that mix. You have no idea. The possibilities are infinite of where this genetic material came from. This is not a clean way and not a sound scientific methodology to come up with a genetic code of what's making people sick.
So let's see if I understand that. If it were a clean way and you really did it, would you have a clean genetic code that you could actually use the code and not this virus itself if you could isolate it, what they haven't? Do you understand the question?
Well, the problem is this is a brand new technology using on humanity. On top of assuming this Frankenstein code is what's making people sick, we're now using a technology that, in my opinion, is very dangerous. And the implications could possibly end our species as we know ourselves from using this. It's not something you should use frivolously or carelessly. It should be carefully considered and carefully discussed and researched before we start implementing it. But here we are. We're all part of a grand experiment.
So you're arguing that this is totally 180 degrees, don't want to put words in your mouth, different from if you did isolate a measles virus somewhere and had a little bit of that and it was live and you did that, which that can be argued they never really have done that, but that's another story. And it's completely different from what's going on now with this genetic code thing, this injection. Totally different. And you say it's dangerous because, Dr. Madday, they have no idea of how the body is going to react to this thing or what it's going to do in the body. Do we know? I've seen a lot of videos saying some pretty spooky things about what this thing could be doing, this injection. Do we know?
Well,
we don't know, do we?
Really? We don't know everything because we are part of the live experiment, but we do know from previous studies on animals and just from modified organisms in general, what happens to them. So we can extrapolate from that process, because what they're doing is genetically modifying humans. And people, these drug companies are being really sneaky and telling everybody, no, you're not being genetically modified because what we're doing is only temporary. It's not permanent. Well, first of all, we're in the middle of a live experiment. No one can tell you that. Not for years later will we know that. And they're also lying because the technique that they're using to introduce the code into the body is called transfection. And by definition, if you look that up, you'll see transfection is how we make genetically modified organism. And also it can be temporary or permanent in the body. So yes, it can. And we also know by study, real research, that they showed that this kind of the SARS-CoV-2 virus or any part of the virus, the spike protein, has been seen in humans to be able to be reverse transcriptase. There's an enzyme in the body that can take that and integrate it up into our genome and therefore make it permanent part of the human body, part of our genome. So that's permanent. We have evidence that it can happen because we, inside of our bodies, we're not petri dishes. We're not in a lab. We are complex beings. And so in our bodies, we have many mechanisms, many things happening. And one of them is an enzyme that can integrate it into our genome. So here you have the Frankenstein code they're putting in you that we don't really know exactly what it is. And now we're going to take it. It's not from nature. Remember, it's not from nature. So it's not like you getting anything from the wild. This is different. It's part synthetic and part recombinant. So now that it's injected inside of you, you take it up. What's going to happen? We have no idea really The previous animal studies, we know it was terrible and they had to stop them with the same kind of vaccine, the same kind of virus, because the animals looked okay at first, but after they were after they were exposed to the virus in the future, the animals got very sick. They had lung inflammation, liver failure, and most of them died. So their immune systems were faulty after that point and did not operate very well after that. We know these kinds of things can cause more cancers, more mutations, more autoimmune diseases. You'll see that later down the road. And, you know, genetically modified organisms, they're sterile, meaning they don't reproduce. They don't have their own seeds. We can expect that in humans. We know that genetically modified organisms don't live as long. They're not as healthy. And all these things you can expect in the human population if these things get integrated into our genome.
So then the chatter and people like yourself talking about the potential of lowering the birth rate and all that, there could be some real substance to that.
Yes, well, people have analyzed the spike protein, the one that they're injecting into people, and they see that there's some things like the syncytin protein. It has the same protein in it that a human placenta has or a human sperm has. And the point is, if you know anything that's in the vaccine, the body will learn to attack in the future. It's learning to do that. So if it has the same protein as a human in it, it's going to learn to attack that protein. We know to expect that it could attack placenta when you're pregnant or attack the sperm. So this would affect fertility. We also know that there's a part of this code that's analogous to our chromosome 8, a human's chromosome 8. It's very dangerous because chromosome 8 could be affected negatively, and that's our intelligence and fertility. That's another hit on that. We also know that people getting these vaccines, there's a lot of blood disorders going on, a lot of clotting and strokes and cardiovascular events, and a lot of problems with women's menstrual cycles are happening. Tons of clots, or they're getting the miscarriages, they're aborting the fetus. All kinds of things are happening right now, and this is just early on. And we know that this spike protein goes to something called the ACE2 receptor, which is found in so many things in the body, but particularly the red blood cell. So that's a very, very important thing to know, because how long does this effect last? Nobody knows yet. Will it get worse in the future? Well, only time will tell. And we do know that there's 18 subunits of HIV-1 in this Frankenstein code. So is that enough to give the person HIV or AIDS in the future? Only time will tell. These companies say, don't worry. Who are they to say don't worry? Because they don't have to face any drama. They don't have to face the court system. They don't have to pay out one penny for anything that happens to us in the future from these vaccines. They don't care. They didn't put the money in the safety and efficacy on purpose, because they don't have to.
And they have a team of lawyers if somebody goes after them, right? Lots of money. To do that. Wow. And so
the World Health Organization is bought off, so is the CDC and every other country right now by these corporations.
And all of the vaccines out there, how many are out there? J&J and AstraZeneca and Pfizer, how many are there? Do you know for this thing?
Oh, I think they're in the pipeline. There's like 152 vaccines.
Oh, no, come on. Really?
Yeah. No, yeah, there are.
And they're all using this same genetic thing from China?
Pretty much, yeah. So, you know, first of all, people need to know that none of us really know what's inside these vaccines. They should be independently analyzed with different things like electron microscopies, et cetera. None of them have been independently analyzed. We're trusting the drug manufacturer to tell us what's in it when they don't have any liability or anyone looking over their shoulder, because under the Emergency Act, everything went away. It's all cloak and dagger. It's all black ops, the CIA the Pentagon and the Department of Defense is in charge of a lot of this. I mean, this is not the health department. This has no internal review board. What's going on with this? People think that this is the normal way a vaccine gets approved. It is not. It's not FDA approved. It's being pushed through with the Emergency Act without the data to support its safety and efficacy, and that we are all part of an experiment. And do you trust these people with their history and their background? They've made crimes against humanity in the past. You think they just had a change of heart now and they're not going to do the same thing? Unbelievable.
You go, girl. Okay, Dr. Carrie Mate is with us. Would you stay right there? We'll take a break. And then, I mean, we're painting a picture I've studied the monetary system and this thing for many, many years, and it's pretty swampy. But boy, you start digging into this, Dr. Mate, and it's so swampy you don't even want to put your finger in it. But will you stay right there, and we'll take a break, and then we'll be right back. All right. Wow. Stephen Buhner, master herbalist, wrote an entire book on pine pollen. Previously, we asked him, what's the difference between gathering some pine pollen, eating that, and then maybe taking Sir Thrival pine pollen and the grape alcohol, the tincture? What's the difference in the body?
Okay, the difference is pine pollen is probably one of the best nutrient food substances on the earth. And you see, it's made to be uptaken by all of the life around it. All of the other plants take it in and use it for growth. Many of the animals eat it, and it's a very nutrient substance. If you eat it, what happens is it goes through your GI tract and then puts it into the bloodstream. And there's a lot of great stuff in it. I mean, it's really high in amino acids and protein and vitamins, so it's a very magnificent substance. It's kind of a nutrient longevity tonic food, and it will over time raise levels. But if you really want to raise them fast, you don't want to let it go through your GI tract, hence the use of a tincture.
And you can click and order this great product right on our website. Any of these are Thrival links. Take you right to the pine pollen and order away. OneRadioNetwork.com. Another company that we work with, that just a wonderful company, it's called Shen Blossom, and it's operated by Brandon Amalani, who actually, I met through Daniel Vitalis many years ago. He used to develop products for Daniel. And so Brandon is a fellow that does the Blue Shield, the great device for, you know, the EMF stuff. And if you go on Shen Blossom through our website, you're going to find some really remarkable, lovely products that are all exquisitely produced, and I mean the real deal. He has works with the Chinese herbalist, and it's a whole lineage of people that goes back many, many, many years, and very sacred formulas. And some of them are allowed to put out how they make them. And everything's in iron glass. Of course, everything is organic. There's not a speck of anything you can't pronounce. Well, there's some things you can't pronounce, but they're mainly herbs and things like that. He has two products that I just want to talk about for a moment before we go back with Dr. Mate. Is there are protein kind of mixes in a pouch, and one is essential chlorophyll protein, and some of the ingredients are pumpkin seed protein, bamboo leaf, chickweed, longevity spinach. Isn't that great? I love that rice sprouts from Shen Blossom, sprouted soba powder. The other one, the one that I've been using, is Total Nutrition Protein. I never did too well on the whey protein or even rice protein, but the first ingredient here is bamboo pith and leaf, pinion nut, plantain, nettles, beet tops, cassio, chlorella, spirulina, nashi sobatine, which is a Chinese medicine thing, aloe, pear tops, pumpkin seed, concentrate, sesame seeds, quinoa seeds, hemp seeds, tamago seeds, on and on and on, licorice, basil, and just all kind of good, fun foods that you can imagine the nutrients in things like beet tops and gota kola, basil seeds. So if you'd like to get yourself a one or two of these protein mixes, we call them protein mixes, but they're just really good food supplements that you can put in and mix up with a smoothie, maybe with some colostrum from Sir Thrival. That's a good one to mix up with some fruit and maybe a little good fat coconut oil or something, and you're really happening, and it'll keep you going for many, many hours, and you're getting the best kind of nutrients ever. It's great. These are both from Shen Blossom, these protein mixes, on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Indeed, with Dr. Carrie Mate. Thanks for coming on the show today. I know that you're a busy girl. Do you still see patients? You still see patients?
I still do telemedicine and some concierge medicine. I do mostly public speaking now because I feel this information is so important to humanity.
So you're out there now with your website, Stop World Control, and just as you're really focused on getting this kind of information out, have you always been this passionate about something that you felt strongly about your whole life? Were you grew up like that?
I've always been outspoken, yes. And, you know, when you feel that something is right, you have to go with your ethics and morals. I've always been a patient advocate. So I've always stood up for patient rights. I'm not a stranger to that at all. And yeah. I've had to cut my ties with lots of government entities and hospitals and insurance companies because speaking up is not, it's taboo in our medical culture. We don't have freedom of speech, and you're persecuted in many ways as a doctor or any other health professional if you speak up like this.
Yeah. You almost feel, you don't mind me saying, a bit shy to me a little bit. So is this challenging or hard for you when to speak out like this?
I mean, when you have a lot of passion for something, of course you speak up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You just kind of do it. Yeah. This fellow, Mike Liddell, you know him, he launched his yesterday. Frank Speech yesterday, and he was live streaming. They're still live streaming, and they've had almost 100 million hits in 24 hours, and he had Sherry Tenpenny on yesterday. Well, which I thought, well, mm-hmm. Man, that's pretty cool. I mean, she's very outspoken on this injection thing. So this whole back injection thing is. It's gaining a lot of steam. There are more. Lots of people are understanding what you're saying, are they not?
I think people are waking up, yes. We need more people to wake up, though. It's mm-hmm. A little slow because time is ticking away. And we don't really know the long-term effects of these injections people are getting. You know, there's some idea that possibly it could be shedding. We don't have hardcore evidence of that, but we are having some anecdotal evidence, and this is concerning. So, yes, we need to go forward, because what if we really start to depopulate the world because people are dying early from different things with these injections? And what about the reproductive capabilities of us? So we need to address this before too many injections are given.
We've had several emails, and are you familiar with Dr. Ray Pete, a longtime nutritionist, about 80 years old, great guy. And he's had some inquiries, too, about ladies. See if I get this right now. Ladies who have been exposed to other ladies who have been injected, and their menstrual cycle has mm-hmm. seemed to be shortening a bit. One lady just going on an airplane, you know, probably a lot of vax people. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that ladies can shed some kind of something through the air to other ladies to mess with their, how would that happen?
Well, we know that women that live together, they actually will start to have the same cycle and share a lot of the similar cycles because of, you know, the hormones that are put out. And we're very sensitive to that.
Yeah.
So that of course can happen when women are close contact. In a short, you know, amount of contact like that, that would be unusual, of course. So this is where it comes up. Well, could there be any shedding of this spike protein that they say is not a whole virus? But, you know, again, we don't know that because no one's independently analyzed it. What if it is infectious in some way on its own? Nobody's looked at that yet. Because once you're making this protein in your body, then that would be considered a live vaccine. They're not categorizing that because it's not actually giving you the virus, but you're making it in your body. You're making this and you're producing it. So, of course, those mRNA vaccines can be considered a live vaccine then. And if this spike protein is contagious in a way, you can transmit it, because we know that people can transmit the other virus. I mean, it's a possibility. We don't know yet. And we know that it does affect any red blood cell, any clotting, and any sort of thing that has to do with that. So it's something we need to look more into.
Can you explain a little more clearly about how this mRNA injection thing, what's the theory behind it making this alleged virus? That's so your body will see it or something?
So they don't have the actual virus to put in you. So what they're doing is they're taking the genetic code of just part of the virus.
Okay.
And since it's synthetic in your body, when they're injecting it, your body would destroy something that's foreign to nature right away, of course. So they had to bypass the body's immune systems by wrapping that in an envelope of nanotechnology, a nanolipid particle. And so they're using another brand new technology on humanity. They're using the nanotechnology is, in essence, pretty much their nanobots in a way. Okay, it's a stretch of the imagination, but we can do it. So that will suppress your immune checkpoints. Now that's going to alter your immune system to allow it to enter the cell. How long does that last? Nobody knows. We don't have an answer. Possibly forever. And that means if you're suppressing your immune system checkpoints, more cancers can happen. More other infections can occur. More toxins can get into your body. All sorts of things can happen. But they don't care about that. They just want to get the vaccine in you, right? They just want to get the code in you. That's not their concern. They don't have to worry about that. So now it goes into your body. Now you have nanolipid particles, nanotechnology, and now you have this Frankenstein code. So the code is tricking the body into making it for you. So it's going to make the recipe in your body. And it's producing what they're telling us is the spike protein of the virus. So you're going to purposely spit out all these spike proteins in your body. Now, these are parts of the virus. They're kind of alive. So how infectious are they on their own? Well, we don't know. Everybody's a guinea pig, right? And there's no off button. They say it'll burn itself off over time. They're assuming. They don't know that. How long will this last in the body? This is very frightening. Some people might make a lot, some people a little, some people none. We don't know.
And Dr. Matte, it's possible, we don't know, but it's possible that people who take this injection could actually shed out something, with their breath or hormones, or it's possible? To other people?
Yes, I mean, if they're shedding like a normal virus or another kind of infectious disease, of course, respiratory droplets, that's a possibility, of course. Yes, we know through sexual contact, sexual body fluids, breast milk, blood contact, that would be a very, very good way of transmitting anything, of course. That's why in Pfizer, they recommended nobody have sexual intercourse that's unprotected for 28 days after their injections.
Really?
But what happens on the 29th day? Yes.
Like it goes away after 28 days, right?
We don't know.
Whoa. Well, this is crazy. I mean, it's just, it's maddening when you hear someone like yourself. But this information that you're getting, it's obviously out there. Who's doing all this research? And you know, just folks like you around the world that are just digging into this thing?
Yes, I mean, there's a handful of us that keep up on the research. And luckily now people are being their own investigative journalists and social media and releasing things. But if you dig enough, you'll find this. And I always offer open debate for anybody who finds this really hard to believe. I say, you know, come give me your data. Give me your research. You know, I'm happy to learn. I'm happy to be wrong. Of course, we want to be wrong. But nobody. It's crickets. You don't hear a word. Nobody has, they might slander you, but they don't come up with any data to support what they're saying. There's innumerable research and data to prove what we're saying. And we're getting this information from the drug manufacturers themselves.
Mm-hmm. Is there any mainstream media talk about the adverse effects and the deaths from these injections. I don't have television, so I don't. Is anybody reporting these things?
Actually, not that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. I don't watch television myself. I don't know of that. But when I hear friends or relatives talking about it, they say all they're telling you is the amount of cases, which sound like they're dying, and that the vaccine is completely safe and effective. That's what they're hearing. And that's complete, you know, those are all false statements. They're just lying. But, you know, the media doesn't have to tell you the truth. You know, there was an act passed not that long ago where it was the news is considered entertainment. And because it's entertainment, they don't have to tell you the truth. People don't realize that.
Yeah. Are you surprised that they've been able to pull this thing off with the basic PCR test that has been proved to be fraudulent? Is it true it's 95% false positives on this thing? And the whole pandemic thing is based on cases, right? Which is based on the PCR test.
Well, yes, the PCR test was never supposed to be used for diagnosis. I took genetics in college, and we were told that then, that, you know, you can make anything look positive the more cycles you do. The right. more you ramp up the cycles, you're looking for some genetic material, you'll likely find it. It was to be used to find genetic material, not to use as diagnosis. So that they're using this for diagnosis, they know what they're doing. They know it's an improper use. It's a way to fluff up the numbers. And even with that, it wasn't enough. So the test kits sometimes were falsely positive. But the CDC had two batches that went out on different occasions that were all contaminated with supposedly this COVID-19. That's what they say. How did that happen? We know that there's just false data reporting, just like in Florida, 300 labs were saying 100% of their tests were positive, and all 300 were wrong. All 300 labs were found to be incorrect. It was only 10%.
Yes, ma'am.
So how does that happen? This has been happening around the world. So this is purposeful, in my opinion. It's not by accident. And it's not just one way that we're misreporting things. We're also trying to say anybody that had just the symptoms of COVID is positive, even if their test is negative. So even if you had like two symptoms of a cough and a fever, you're COVID. And then, again, they're misrepresenting the data.
And even I think they're on record saying that if you test positive and then they die, then they're a COVID death, right? So, I mean, that...
Yes, it just because they get more money on that.
They get more money. And so I don't know how they've been able to convince governors and mayors and everybody around the country to do this. I don't understand. I'm just naive.
People don't see the big picture, nor do they care, and they need to care because this is only the beginning of the tyranny. And the whole game is a psychological warfare. World War III has already started, and it's the worst kind of war because it's the war of the minds, and it's not something you could see physically. You can't see any bloodshed at this point. That's why it's so difficult to see. And a lot of people think, well, I'll just be the good human they want me to be, and I'll just comply, I'll do this, and then pretty soon I'll get most of my life back. Well, that's a lie, because right now World War III began, and it's never going to stop. The name of the game is to keep you in panic and fear forever. So they will always up the ante. You think this fear is bad? Wait till you see what they got planned for us.
Boy, I got goosebumps when you said that. But you can feel it. I mean, you know, the variants and, you know, Fauci's talking about. And you want to do a few emails before we go? Let's see.
Sure.
Hi, with this vaccine, this is Mark. He's in Guam, or vaccines in general. If one were forced to take it, are there any natural things we can do to mitigate any side effects?
Well, when it comes to these mRNA or any of these vaccines, I should say, my colleagues and I don't know of a way to stop the genetic change that can occur in your body. And the ones that contain the nanotechnology, we're guessing electromagnetic frequencies can negate that, hopefully. Some people have some detox baths they think can help using boron. You can read that online. But the point is the genetic part, we're not quite sure about that. You know, nothing, there's always a reason, or I'm sorry, there's always a solution to everything. And in some point, you know, the vibration, frequency, and energy play a role. So we know just as well as negative frequency can affect DNA negatively, a positive frequency can affect it positively. So we need to look more into the more simple answers to things. And I always teach people about frequency and vibration, that that's the answer. And that we have it within us to heal ourselves. You know, the heart is the most powerful organ in the body. It's 100,000 times more powerful than your brain with its electromagnetic energy. We know that frequency of thought and intention can change DNA structure. Yes. And put it back to its original wild type state. That's from its original state. Like even in the crops, genetically modified crops, Russia's done studies putting a tubular structure of the exact dimensions of the Pyramid of Giza, hanging that over the crops. And two life cycles, the crops change back to their wild type genome that they had from origin.
That is so cool.
Life has memory. Life has intelligence. It knows its perfect origin. It knows its perfect state. And you just have to give it the building blocks or the energy that it needs around it to go back to that original state. Yeah. You cannot destroy that intelligence.
That's wonderful. Yeah, just stay out of the way. This is from Joy. Is Dr. Madde a terrain theorist like us? Oh, she's an us. Or does she think a new virus is actually out there?
Well, there are viruses and there are bacteria and there are parasites and amoebas and they're teeming everywhere around us, inside of us, on us, everywhere. If you look through a microscope, you would die, right? But they're there because they're symbiotic with us, usually, right?
Yeah.
And so in a normal, okay, balanced immune system, you're not going to get sick. But when it's unbalanced, then to me, these things become opportunistic. And opportunistic means then they can make you sick. So I am a terrain theorist where, you know, people keep looking at how to kill this bug. Well, this bug's not the problem. It's the body. It's the immune system. It's us, right? We need to look at us and make us healthier. So in that way, yes. But to say that they don't exist is completely wrong. We do know they exist.
They're out there.
It's just that, yeah, of course. And also, when you get injected with something, with like these vaccines,
that's different.
Now that's not a normal way in our world to come in contact with something. We're not supposed to be injected from other species viruses and then given toxins along with it. That's going to alter your immune system. So you can contract things in that way as well. So you have to understand, in a normal state, no, our bodies are amazing. They can overcome anything. But if you alter that, yes, you become compromised.
And there's many people that are arguing, like Cowan and Kaufman, and that these exosomes, that they call them too, or we're sharing them with everybody, and they're actually positive because they're helping us all to get stronger in a mm-hmm. sense. And mm-hmm. But then I think your point too about parasites. I mean, if as the species gets weakened, parasites will come in. They'll can eat you up sometimes, and sometimes you might want to kill them. You know what I mean? Right.
Sometimes, of course. Yeah. I mean, yes, they're real, but they're not your enemy, right? They all are in a balance. They're very good. They protect our environment. They protect us. It's only when they become imbalanced or people manipulate them to become bioweapons. That's not a good thing either.
Not a good thing. Because even bacteria, is it true, though, that even like strep bacteria, they're in your throat trying to fix things. They're not there so you can try to kill them with an antibiotic, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, antibiotics have saved people's lives. I've seen it myself. It's not that they're bad. Right. You have to understand everything in a balance, everything for its purpose. We've just abused and overused these medicines. And so they've gotten a bad rap too.
Does Dr. Madde think that some jabs or placebos are saline to make deaths and injuries appear to be less?
100% they're giving out placebos.
Really?
Whether I've heard by some hospital administrators that they're about 20% they were told. But in any experiment like this, they have to have controls because it's a live experiment. So in a normal experiment, we go up to 50%. I do hear it's 20, who knows how many, depends probably where you live and what's going on. But absolutely, they're giving out placebos. They have to so that they can alter and tweak what they're giving out to people. I'm sure of it.
But they would have to keep records, would they not, Dr. Madde, of who they're giving the placebo to and then follow up with George, you know, 10 years from now? I mean, who's going to do that?
They have They have really strict control on these injections because
really?
On the syringes, they have RFID chips.
Oh, good.
If you read back about a year ago, our government admitted that they bought the syringes. Look how tricky they are. The vaccine manufacturers say they didn't have it, but the syringes they're putting the vaccine in do have the RFID chips. So when that's why you haven't seen anyone rogue person steal one of the vaccines. Some people have tried, they caught them right away. How do they catch them? Because probably an alarm went off when this RFID chip kind of went over the line that it was supposed to go over. So they claim, don't worry, these chips are just on the outside of the syringe. Do you trust them? I don't. Why would you put a chip there? That's pretty expensive when you could just put a barcode. That's all you need, right? There's something really fishy going on with that. And that nobody has been able to take one to analyze it, that's very strange. That means they're really controlling what's happening with these things. They have a way of monitoring them.
So the syringe, you mean there's an RFID chip that goes into the body when you get the vaccine?
Well,
no?
They're telling us, don't worry, it won't go into the body. Ah. But what I'm saying is, do you trust them with that? Because why would they go through the whole process and expense of putting a chip on the outside of a syringe when they could just put a barcode? Much cheaper and easier, more effective, right? Why would you put a chip there? That means you need to track it in its entirety of where it's going.
So are you saying that people get the injection then can actually be tracked some way, possibly?
I'm saying that we need to question that because right. I don't see the common sense in doing that on putting it on the outside of a syringe when we can do it in cheaper and other ways. So who's to say it's not inside the syringe? We don't have any proof of that. They're just telling us that. I'm just saying it's something to wonder about. Yeah.
So what do you think the argument's going to be and is already for you have to get two or three extra doses now, you get one and then 3 months later, what argument are they going to sell to people on TV?
Well, Pfizer, Moderna have said that at best their drugs can only last 2 months after the second dose, but I'd say probably not even that long. And the studies, maybe 30 days, sometimes even 2 weeks. Is that not unbelievable? When you're looking at the animal studies, they're hiding that from people that it's not that strong of an effect. So what they're going to do is just make up the story of different variants coming along. And, the variants could be just people getting these injections themselves, right? Now their immune system's weakened. Now they're getting things they should never have gotten. Now they're getting sicker than they should have. Now that's the super bug going around, right? And we do know from other countries that people that got their normal flu vaccine are very susceptible and have a more aggressive reaction when they get this COVID complex, whatever it's causing it. So we do know these vaccines make you weaker anyway to any kind of unique infection in the future. So they're just going to spin any story. The idea is to get you more and more of these injections because really the idea behind it is, to me, the nanotechnology involved. They need to get that into the human body. That's their main goal. That's their main purpose above and beyond the genetic manipulation because they want all of us by the year 2030 to become part cyborg. It sounds crazy, but look it up. Everybody has that deadline. And they do want you to become part of the internet of everything. And this is how they will then connect you to everything around the 5G, your smart devices, your cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
This is how they monitor everything about you. Yeah. And that's the true reason for these injections because they don't work, guys. Even the manufacturers, they don't work. But they're going to scare you and coerce you and manipulate you so that you get enough of this substance inside of you, the nanotechnology, that they can use it for the real purpose, the real agenda, the new reset, the new way of living in their eyes, which is not in the benefits of any human.
And if you think this lady is just a conspiracy theory with a tinfoil hat, you can research the World Economic Forum, Agenda 21, all kinds of. I mean, they talk about this. I mean, they're just very clear about it. It's out there. It's out there.
Bill Gates and MasterCard and the Trust Stamp are now testing this technology out that I'm telling you about in the people of West Africa right now. And if you look up their advertisement, you see Bill Gates very proud of it. And he said, once we have it perfected here, we will unveil it in the developed countries. It is not a joke. It's not conspiracy theory. They're doing it to people as we speak. They're giving them their digital ID. They're hooking them up to the cloud with MasterCard and cryptocurrency. And they're actually doing something called predictive policing on the people right now, where they can guess what you're going to do and stop you before you do it, like the Minority Report of Tom Cruise. Yeah. And so Bill Gates is very proud to say he's using it for predictive policing. That is the real intention of these injections. It is not about the benefit of your health or humanity. And they even said they will unveil it here. And I actually went to business owners meetings here in Atlanta where they said they were going to do this as a test city here in Atlanta, exactly what I'm telling you, the same story.
This is taking George Orwell out, Doc, for a spin, and man, he never, you know, all this stuff, right? I mean, whoa, just amazing, just fast. Mm-hmm. And we study, I've been a student, Doc, of monetary history for 25 years, and you know this Fed coin digital thing is happening. This is on the block, and they're going to roll it out, and I think one of the things they're going to do is just to blip you in with these digital things whenever you need it. Oh, you need some money, Patrick? Do that. You don't have to work. You don't have to work.
Just, pretty much. Yeah. And they told me in scientific meetings that my job as a physician, anybody as a physician, is obsolete in my lifetime, that very soon that they would be able to manipulate the human body so that all of our medicine would become vaccines that would be uploaded, downloaded to us through our smart devices, that there would be no technical doctor anymore, like we know of a doctor.
Amazing. This is from Dell. Is there a problem with the swabs, PCR test, and nanotechnology in actually vaccinating people? I've seen some videos, and I just don't know what to believe. Thanks for the show. Yeah, who knows?
Well, I don't trust the swabs because, A, there's no reason to go that high up into the nasal cavity. That makes no scientific sense. So already there's something wrong with that. I can tell you that in Slovakia, they do have a document that is published that admits that they've been experimenting on the people of Slovakia with these nasal swabs, that they have used one of the tests to actually give them the nanoparticles of the vaccine up in the nose to see if it's effective. So they were actually giving them the vaccine through the nasal swabs. Mm-hmm. The other one was that they were giving them nanotechnology through the nasal swabs. They admitted that. So you can do that. That's my point. And I only had one test I was forced to because I moved back from the Dominican to the United States. The United States forced me. I was able not to get it up the nose. I convinced them just to do it in the cheek. But the point is, I saw the swab they were giving out. That's not a normal swab that I am familiar with in the tests that we give out here. And when they scraped it there, it didn't feel right. It felt abnormal. It felt a little sharper than it should have. I hope I never get forced to have another one again.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with them.
But constitutionally, there must be some pathway for many of these things to head up to the Supreme Court. But then we kind of know with what happened with the voting thing that that's pretty swampy up there too.
The Emergency Act.
Right. You know, it's like,
as long as the Emergency Act is still in place, people need to realize we do not have the functioning country that we are used to. We have FEMA, which has no accountability. It does not answer to our Congress. FEMA is controlling everything, which is pretty much, in a way, a martial law state. They just have not really enforced anything as they can. But if you read, there's three emergency acts that were passed, not just one. And when that happened, the president gave up his or her executive power. They only look as a figurehead, and they look like they're making decisions when they aren't. Even Biden, he's taking orders. He's taking guidance from FEMA. It's not the other way around, guys. Wake up. We have to speak up for ourselves. There's not going to be a magic person that comes up, because now that everybody's in the emergency state, they're answering to one world powers, which are corporations that snuck in and took the power away. So we, the people, need to speak up for ourselves, and this is our window of opportunity to stop this tyranny.
This is it. Yeah, there's people that argue that we've been under a state of emergency since Lincoln in the Civil War, where he declared a state of emergency. He suspended habeas corpus to hold the country together, and we've been under emergency powers ever since, and this whole thing is a corporation and a big scam, and, you know,
yeah,
and probably when were the other two? If that was one, the emergency, do you know?
It was all around the same time. I had researched it before, so I don't have those dates fresh in my memory, but I could look them up again. The Modified Stafford Act is probably the most important document to look at
as far as the Emergency Act. You haven't heard that one, Modified.
That is the most important one.
Stafford
Act. It's
pretty
scary. Yeah.
When was that year? What year about? What range?
I'm sorry, all these dates aren't half fresh. I don't want to tell you the wrong one by chance, but it's easy to find online.
So that's why the whole thing with presidents and flags and all this stuff is just a big charade, really, and has
been. It is a charade. In my opinion, the biggest coup happened, especially in our country, and we don't even know it. They fooled us. That's deceit and lies. So if you keep thinking that you're going to see some vote overturned, you better guess again, because we don't have the operating country that you think we have right now. A coup happened and we were overtaken by these corporations and under the guise of a one world government. And they're just going through the motions, making it look like we still have a functioning government when we don't. Mm.
Well, you are a tinfoil hat girl. I love you. That's great. Good stuff. Good for you. Good for you. Do you have a family?
I don't have any children. Yeah. I have a boyfriend. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, he's got a good one there. Well, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. You're taking the time to come on the show. It's spooky, but hey, you know, we're going to figure it out somehow. I think that the idea that you know, and that we talk about a lot, Doc, on our show, is that our state of consciousness controls everything in our body, right? We know that. So we have a big power, as you say, from the heart or who we are as soul to protect ourselves from pretty much anything. And I think that a lot of folks are waking up. And so maybe this is a great awakening. And this whole thing is just going to look like, you know, 5 years from now, we'll look back and say, whoa, that was strange, but good thing it happened, maybe. Maybe
it's going to take longer than 5 years, but no, it is true, because we are magnificent light beings that we forgot who we are. And once we remember that, it is going to be a brilliant day.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, thanks. Thank you. We love your work. You take care of yourself now. Stay out of trouble.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Patrick Timpone, One Radio Network, Dr. Carrie Mudde. Wow, what fun. Brilliant and so, you know, I start to cry. Is that somebody, you know, this lady like that has the, now she's got me crying, man. The strength and the passion to get out there and say these kind of things. And just trust me that, you know, so all this thing about this one world thing and it's all true. I've studied this stuff for years and it's, there are a lot of strange people, psychopaths that just want to, you know, just do this stuff. So we got to get strong. This is what our show is about. We're doing everything we can to help you stay strong, to see the spiritual, the mental, emotional stuff going on. It's got me crying. And that's what we do. So we'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock, OneRadioNetwork.com. Thank you very much. May the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.